you really can't literally take the experiences of one movement and bodily transfer it to another one. But you can draw from it, and we can draw from each other. Each generation must discern its mission and then press hard toward the mark of fulfilling that mission. And you are in the process of doing that. We offer some help to that. Now, let me just say something about movements. I think that part of it is thinking of the creative things that you can do that would add to Occupy. Going out in neighborhoods, building relationships and connections on the issues that people feel the pain of every day. On the question of space, you can frame it, you know, in a very big thing about space was at issue when the colonial powers came to this country. It wasn't their space. It was somebody else's space. But they created a justification to appropriate the space. And they didn't have people to work it. And so you have stolen space, and then you steal some people. And then you steal the history so that people don't know that way over which they have come. And so I'm saying that if we're dealing with public institutions, how do we frame the question of space around the city? In North Carolina, this is what we heard on the public media, that it was a health issue. And it seems strange to me that you would come into a place in the middle of the night and rouse people and take their things and throw them away, all under the banner of health. I would assume that the people staying there had organized their own health and cleanliness processes. So they framed it that way. But you have to get another framing out there. How can people be denied space? Does that kind of any compassion? Or are people's notion of space linked to wealth and money? And therefore, people are avoiding space rather than using the space to the service of the people. And we have to frame something like that and challenge it. So on the race question, how can you have 244 years of calling people things and property, and it's built into all of your institutions, all of your structures, all of your thought? It's not something you can just say, oops, we made a mistake. And so with humility and with mutual respect, if you get into guilt tripping each other, I think you're not going to go anyplace. But if you are able to speak powerfully and truthfully about the realities of people who have been and continue to be victimized on the basis of race, and what does a movement do about that? And I think that's the question that you have to wrestle with, that it is part of your inheritance. We can offer a few things, but I think that you ought not to dodge that question under the banner of unity. We can have serious discussion about race and have better unity.
I don't even like the word unemployed, because it sounds like people just stub their toes on the way to work. I use the word disemployed because somebody made a decision that those people weren't going to have jobs anymore. Now, what would it mean for Occupy Wall Street in particular work groups to go to people who have been expelled from their homes and say, let's work together to make the homes livable and possible, and that you get to live in them? And we take on, just as we took on living in a public park when the mayor said no, we take on what the responsibilities are, just as the Freedom Riders took it on when they said we're going to ride the buses. The law doesn't yet say we're entitled to. We're going to ride the buses. That is going to change the law. Same thing with the factories. Going to the workers who have been disemployed and saying, can we, actually workers in the 1930s in the auto plants did this, take back the plant and begin doing the work together in such a way that it's productive and useful and important? And And those kinds of responses will be powerful challenges to the Wall Street that disinvested in those homes and in those factories.
Right on.
We've been working for 15 years now with religion.
Yeah.
Religion is the enemy to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. There wouldn't be homophobia if there weren't religious teachings by the Pope and all his pipples. And so we've been straggling around, you know, trying desperately to change some minds and hearts. Somebody said to me the other day, you went to Rome, the Pope didn't change. And I said, all right. But the Catholics that were with us were transformed by standing there in the face of the papal hierarchy and saying, we are Catholics and we won't take this any longer. The Methodists who stand with us are transformed if they stand up against the Methodist Conference and the Assembly of God. Remember, these are the people who have set homophobia in motion. But don't try to evaluate your successes by the numbers of people you attract. Remember that every person who's down there in that park represents hundreds of thousands of people who are being changed by you. So don't get discouraged if the crowds ebb and flow. Just keep remembering that you don't see who you're changing, but you're changing them. And that's so important to you because we got so discouraged up against a billion Catholics who don't even believe in contraceptives. Hello? Is anybody home in Rome? But you can't get discouraged because you haven't changed the Pope. And you can't get discouraged because there's not a whole lot of people someday in the park. You just got to remember that if there's one person there, she represents hundreds of thousands of people. So when you go up and say, thank you for being here, you're saying it to 100,000 people. Of course, you can't take an offering, but wouldn't that be nice? I'm really sad to say that the gay people that I'm working with aren't like these people. We didn't have our homes to support us. We didn't have our churches to support us. And now we don't have any songs to sing. We can't even pray because we're all so nervous, you said, about all the different prayers that could be said here. But I found the more we worked, the more we said, you have a spiritual place at the heart of you. And we can be united around that spiritual place. Don't let the Christian church destroy your spirit because they've said all those rotten things. Let your spirit, you know, be liberated and then meet with the other liberated spirits, but don't give up on spirituality as the heart of this movement. Because spirituality is what will keep this movement going.
I think it's very important that you know how powerful you are. Already, you've changed the conversation in the world. I've been closely related to what's going on in Oakland and the San Francisco area. And we know that in the last 10 days, 18 mayors talked together about how to deal with Wall Street. You understand? One of the signs of the days in the past, you could get a picture of who you are by the amount of power that comes out against you. So you can feed off of the fact that powerful forces are mobilized against you. I think that's crucial. What are the connections between Wall Street and the prison industrial complex? Between detention centers for immigrants. Yeah. What companies are making the money? What banks? Who's making the money from the privatization of prisons? What are the connections between investments and low-wage workers and the destruction of labor unions? Those connections. So you know already that Wall Street penetrates into the very bowels of the United States. In every city, in every aspect of our life, Wall Street is there, engaged in some of the most destructive things in our nation.